Pastor Jeff Johnson speaks on the power of prophecy.
The power of prophecy blows me away. The power of prophecy blesses my heart. The power of prophecy gives me a solid foundation in what I believe and who I believe, because he says it before it happens, so when it happens, many would believe. Because I have believed, and I know that we have a more sure word of prophecy, even what he has given to us, his word. Look how accurate the word is in the past.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love.
Welcome once again to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. We'll join him in Daniel chapter 8 here in just a moment. It's here that we uncover some amazing fulfilled prophecy, and it not only speaks to the reliability of God's Word, but Pastor Jeff says this relates to us in more ways than one. So get ready for some powerful prophecy. Here's Pastor Jeff with our message, first delivered at Calvary Chapel Downey, here on today's broadcast of Sound Doctrine.
Father, won't you speak to me? Oh Lord, you know I'm listening. You know exactly what I need. So Father, won't you speak to me?
Daniel, chapter 8. Now, what's interesting about this, as we go along here now and look at this situation, Alexander the Great went south. And as he went south, he took Palestine. He took Egypt. And where the city of Alexandria today, which is right on the Mediterranean of Egypt, was named after him. Then he went north towards Afghanistan, where he married. And there Cletus was a man who flirted with his wife. You don't want to do that. Alexander ran him through with his sword and killed him on the spot. And then he went on to India with their elephant troops. And they easily took India. And then they went on to Babylon, where he made it his capital city as he took it over. At the age of 32, in 12 years, Alexander the Great had conquered the known world when he was that young. And then as he sat back, already conquered the whole world so quickly, he was depressed. He said, what else am I going to do? I mean, here he is, a fighting man, a man that would take the world. Now he has nothing to do, and now he's depressed. So he decided to throw a party, at least to celebrate what we have done. And so they celebrated in a drunken orgy, and he got drunk. He never made it back to his house. He never took his clothes off. It was raining that night. He was an alcoholic anyhow, and he fell asleep with his clothes on. He caught pneumonia, and 3 days later, he's a dead man. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what about alcoholism? I know we know we're wrestling with this nation as far as drugs, and a lot of people think, well, drugs are going to be the downfall. No, it's alcohol. Alcohol is going to take this nation down just like every nation. If you look back in history past, alcohol and the orgies they had with alcohol and the things they did with alcohol destroyed the nation and the leaders. It's the same way now. This whole nation, I believe, is in the hands of the enemy. This nation sold out a long time ago when we started slaughtering the babies, took prayer out of school. Now alcohol rules and reigns in the streets and destroying this nation. Billions of dollars it's causing, not only for lost jobs, lost lives. The accidents and the things that are going on the highway is all, most of it, the biggest percentage of it, alcoholism. The drinking demon. With the colleges today and what's going on in there today, it's unbelievable. It's gripping this nation and pulling us down. Just like with Greece, Rome, Medes and Persians, Babylonians, all the way back. Now, notice verse 8. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, remember who the he-goat is, the great horn, which is Alexander, the son of King Philip, was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. As Alexander the Great approached Jerusalem after the high priest came out and shared this scripture with Alexander, and this very scripture right here in the first few verses, he called himself, that's when Alexander called himself the Great. Why? Because I'm in the Bible, and I'm a great man, and look what I'm going to do, and look what I've done, you know. So he called himself the Great. The high priest probably ended here with this verse because the next verses show his downfall. So he's definitely not going to read on. He's just going to pump him up and say, hey, you're here. And instead of going, you know, instead of him saying, well, read on, what's the end of the story? He didn't probably do that because he wanted to live. The next part tells of Alexander's end. In his greatest hour, here in verse 8, it says, when he was at his top strength. Again, you gain the world, but you're going to lose your soul. And he didn't touch Jerusalem. He didn't touch it because he said, I'm the greatest. I'm in the Bible. I'm not going to level Jerusalem. I'm not going to wipe it out. And at 32 years old, he was broken. And now he's only history, lying there just dead of alcoholism and of pneumonia. The four notable ones rose up. And who are the four notable ones? The question comes. Verse 22 of the same chapter. Now that being broken, whereas four, talking really about his four generals, stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but notice, not in his own power. He never had any children. He never had any children to give it to. So it wasn't going to be in his seed or his power. It was going to be given to his four generals. Now, there would be some confusion. The kingdom wouldn't really get, or these kingdoms wouldn't get dispersed and really motivated and moving until about 10 years. There would be a power struggle. But then they would divide the empire into regions. Cassandra took Europe, which is, of course, Macedonia and Greece. And these were his generals. Lysimus took the area of Turkey, which is Asia Minor. Ptolemy took Egypt and North Africa, and Seleucus took Asia. And these last two, Seleucus and Ptolemy, they would fight from 600 BC to 60 BC over land and Israel until Rome would come along. In other words, there would be continual tension between them. And of course, Rome would come on the scene. So where there was one horn, now there are four. And what an incredible prophecy. Look how God just breaks it down to us, shows us the great horn, and then the four notable horns. I mean, how can this be put together but by the Holy Spirit? That, like I said, this is a supernatural book that gives us things before they happen. Now, how does this relate to us today? And this is the main thing that I want to get to you guys. This is what we can go home on, all right? And I've given you a lot of history, actually a lot of prophecy. It's not history. It was prophecies that would take place. In other words, all that I've shared with you is fulfilled prophecy, not history. Well, we can look back and say it's history, but it's still fulfilled prophecy. It was told before it would happen. And when it happens, that's when we settle in and we go, yes, this is the very word of God. Now, remember, Alexander was the greatest leader, the greatest general that the world has ever seen. He took, again, the whole world at 32 years of age. It took 12 years. His father was King Philip of Macedon. Alex was very jealous of his father. He was distraught. He said, there's nothing else for me to conquer. And Philip got Aristotle, which is interesting, to tutor Alexander the Great at 12 years of age. He was tutored by the great philosophers of the day. I mean, from one thing to another, the worldly wisdom was given down to this man. He was given this incredible stallion called Blucephalus, I think his name was. He trained it. He rode him through his campaigns. He finally, this great horse, this black stallion of his that he would ride always in front of his troops into the conquered land, died in India. His dad encouraged him to go forth and conquer a kingdom and be great. Again, Alexander the Great. At 20 years age, he controlled Greece. He heard that Thebes was rebelling against his kingdom. He made example of them when he went forth and slaughtered everyone except for 30,000 slaves that he enslaved. And everyone in the world at that time heard of great Alexander, and they feared him. And they never rebelled. The whole world was afraid of what would happen if they would rebel against him. So Alex was a great man, a warrior who could conquer the world, but he had a problem, and that's that he had himself to deal with. He could never conquer himself. He was a lost individual who was susceptible to depression, and he tried to drown his woes in booze, and that would finally get him. So he died an alcoholic all by himself. Lonely situation. Now, what I'd like to do tonight is contrast Jesus Christ, who I look to and I say, he's my hero, man. He's the greatest of all. He's greater than Alexander the Great. I don't care what he says, how great he is. Jesus is greater. Over in Luke's gospel, it says in chapter 1, you can just jot this down and look it up later on. But in Luke 1, in verse 32, listen to this. He shall be great, talking about Jesus Christ. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Jesus Christ, he's the greatest. He controlled the world at 32 years old to get a treasure in it. And that treasure is us tonight, guys. We are that treasure. Jesus was never in competition with his father as Alexander the Great was. Always in competition. But Jesus always submitted to his father's will. Alexander the Great was a man who made himself as a god. He called himself the Great. Jesus, who was God, humbled himself and became a man. And he humbled himself and became a servant to die and to save me and to save you. He's the greatest. Alexander the Great shed the blood of millions for his own glorification. Jesus shed his own blood for our glorification and salvation. What a difference between these two guys. If I was the only one in all of the world, Jesus would have come and died for me. That's the love that God has for each of us. Alex couldn't conquer himself. Jesus came to give us victory over our flesh, didn't he? How many were delivered from drugs or alcohol tonight? Look at the hands, guys. Woohoo! Flesh is down. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. But Paul said, I'm going to keep my body under, by keeping my soul on top. That's what we're doing tonight, aren't we? Just weary of this, knowing this is our enemy, watching God give us victory over the flesh, deliver us from the drugs and from those passions of the flesh, and turning them towards him and having a passion towards God and loving him above everything else. Jesus came to seek and to save me and you. He died for my sins, for your sins. When Alex found rebellion, he wiped them out. But Jesus cried over the rebellion of Jerusalem. When one was caught in the very act of adultery, Jesus said, I forgive you. Go sin no more. Alexander the Great enslaved and annihilated people. Jesus freed us so he could bless us. I love it. Alexander was tortured about many things of the world, and he was tutored about also many things of the world. Jesus, at age 12, went to the temple and tutored the scribes about the things of God. The difference of the two. Alexander had a black stallion. The Lord had a little white donkey that he used. Remember, that little white donkey is each one of us, guys. God can use a donkey. Well, look, he's using us. Stubborn old us. All we like sheep are stubborn, aren't we? Each one going our own way. But he got a hold of us, and he humbled us, and he made us usable, thank God. And he rode that donkey with humility. He was a very approachable God, wasn't he? And he still is, isn't he? You can approach him tonight, and he will love you. He will forgive you of your sins, and he will become your personal friend and Savior. He's intimate, and he's alive. He says, I love you. I've come to save you. Alexander killed Cleitus. As he did, he looked in his eyes, and he said, friend, you must die, as he struck him with his sword and ran it through him. Jesus said to Judas, friend, what seekest thou? And he knew exactly what he was doing. He gave him opportunity to repent, even though he was out after blood. Blood money. Unbelievably difference between the two. Alexander was bloodthirsty, and many revolted. But Jesus' enemies, in fact, when you look at Pilate, he said, I find no fault with him. We all have faults, but not Jesus. He's the only one without fault. He's the lily of the valley. He's the pure and the holy one. Alexander wept for himself. Woe is me. I don't have anywhere to conquer anymore. Jesus, at the end of his life, wept not for himself, but he wept for us. And God loves us. And he intercedes for us even tonight. Remember what Jesus said on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When Alexander died, all the generals wept. With Jesus, all his disciples, they ran away. They forsook him. And he came and finally gathered them together after his resurrection. Alexander was buried in a great gold sepulcher. It was brought to Egypt, and there it was buried in a great monument in Alexandria. Jesus was moved from the garden where he was buried to heaven, where he makes intercession for you and for me. Alexander enslaved many, many thousands. Jesus liberates. Alexander had 30,000 men behind him. Jesus walked alone. Alexander died on a throne. Jesus died on a cross. Alexander the Greek shed blood. Jesus the Jew shed his own blood. Alexander the Great is just a memory. Jesus is alive, and he is Lord and Master and Messiah. Who's coming again? Who's on his way for us? I really believe his hand is on the door, you know, knob, and he's turning it, man. And we're so close to the coming of the Lord. The power of prophecy blows me away. The power of prophecy blesses my heart. The power of prophecy gives me a solid foundation in what I believe and who I believe. Because he says it before it happens, so when it happens, many would believe. Because I have believed, and I know that we have a more sure word of prophecy, even what he has given to us, his word. Look how accurate the word is in the past. And you know what? I can't wait. You know, in the now, it's awesome. Now, the past is incredible. Now is awesome. And what we're looking forward in the future, is it going to be incredible as far as what is going to come down? What is going to happen? How the Lord is going to intervene in the affairs of mankind. He promised it. We even pray it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's right around the corner. His word causes me to have a greater appreciation for my King, my great Jesus. And he is awesome. He's my living King, my hero. who is the only one who is truly great. There is no greater. And yet he cries out in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, an incredible cry that he gives to all of those that are listening. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and him with me. And so the cry goes out tonight again. Are you listening? Do you have ears to hear? The Lord wants to speak to you. And he wants you to come. And he wants you to invite him in so you can have fellowship one with another. And then I'll tell you something. John says the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all your sin. And you'll be right with God, walking with God, talking with God, fellowshipping with him. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So he wants to be your personal Lord and Savior tonight, if he's not. He wants to be your first love. Now, we have things that will come up in our hearts. See, we have a heart with a throne on it. Now, Jesus is saying, I want to be on that, your heart's throne. I want to be your passion. I want to be your all in all. I want to be what you're constantly going towards and looking to. First love, no other love. And that's really what he desires tonight, that we would fall in love with him that much more, and that we would make him king of our hearts and of our lives, that we would set him on our heart's throne. Remember with those in Ephesus, he says, I have something against you. Because why? Because you left your first love. You got away from what it was all about. Remember in the beginning when you used to be the first one at the prayer meeting? Remember when you used to hunger for the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And you used to go after the things of God, and you used to love to come to worship, to that time where everybody harmonizes and comes together and just makes a joyful noise. You've gotten away. You're not into those things anymore. You're drifting. You're meandering. You're going away from that which is going to keep you safe in this very dark and dangerous world. The Lord is saying, you come home. Make me. Just do your first works over again. Make me your first love. And I will show you visions. I will give you pictures. I will show you my word. I will unveil to you the end of days. Why? So we can know how we're to live. So we can understand how we're to be in these last days. We're to be his witnesses, his lights in this darkness that we live in.
Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine. His message today is called The Power of Prophecy, and it can be heard again online at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can request today's study on CD when you give us a call toll-free, 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Simply mention today's date to help us identify the study you're looking for. And again, that phone number is 800-353-7553. I should also mention you can go to our website to order resource materials from us and even replay today's program. We're at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have an app, and that's a great way to stay connected with us and listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Well, here in the month of May, we honor and celebrate our moms. And with that in mind, we've picked out a book written by Elizabeth Elliot. Every mom, and really every woman, needs to read this book. It's called Let Me Be a Woman. Elizabeth writes, in order to learn what it means to be a woman, we must start with the one who made her. With Scripture as her guide, author Elizabeth Elliot shares her observations and experiences in a number of essays on what it means to be a Christian woman. Whether you're single, married, or widowed, I know you'll be greatly encouraged by this book. Order it today by calling 800-353-7553 or visit sounddoctrineradio.org. Please remember that your gifts help us bring these shows to the radio every day. We rely on the Lord and the support of our listeners to make all of this happen. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. One last request. We want to know how Sound Doctrine is benefiting your walk with the Lord. So email us today at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And please also mention the station that you listen to. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. We'll get back into Daniel next time we meet. Thank you for listening to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey and made possible through your generous support. So Father, won't you